Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, Andrew Hughes, and I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron Hughes. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. Next year's pay-per-view schedule has only 13 pay-per-views, but it has 2 in 3 weeks again. Why do they do this, Aaron?
Because they are listening to us, and so they are actually cutting it down from what it was this year, which, if I'm correct, was 14. Or 15, I don't remember. It was something like that. But they're kind of down to 13, which is a step in the right direction, you know? And we talked about it last week, how you and I think that should only be 10. Mm-hmm. But I think that they are going in the right direction. So, but the thing is, having 2 in 3 weeks, it just makes no sense to me. And bragging rights, I think you and I are both in agreement. What they really should do is bragging rights should be Survivor Series.
Yes. Yes, I completely agree with that. So WWE is going to have their own network, actually, and it's going to debut in 2012. Is this a great idea?
I think it could have been if it launched probably about 5 years ago. With everyone having DVRs now, it's going to be a little different, because I think what they want to do is they want to show old WCW, old WWF, and like, you know, even some of the other stuff that they own, like ECW, and they want to show it like multiple times, you know, so like they'll have like WCW shown 5 nights a week, you know, 2-hour, 3-hour long episodes. But the thing is with DVRs now, it's, you know, it's not the same, you know. They're expecting to get all their money back from revenue through ads, but people are going to be fast forwarding through, you know, and you're not going to have this network unless you have a DVR. So I think it's a good idea though. I mean, you know, I'd probably pay for it. Would you?
Oh yeah, I actually for only I think a month or so, I actually got the WWE on demand stuff for a while because I really enjoyed it. Actually, it was neat. You got to see a lot of WCW stuff, surprisingly, on that month, and they updated all the time. So I was actually impressed with it. And if they had that as a network, you know, and they said, hey, it's going to cost you, we'll say like $5 a month is well worth it, I think.
You know, I think that the one thing for me though is that I actually don't really like watching old matches. I prefer watching the storylines. So, you know, we go back, I think back to the 90s, you know, and like Buff Bagwell, for example, who is a horrible wrestler if you watch him now. Back then, I didn't think he was a bad wrestler, you know. I really didn't. But now you look at him and it's like, wow, this guy is pretty bad. But I think the thing that would interest me the most, though, is that, I mean, the storylines. I mean, you would see some pretty, you know, intense stuff where, you know, you kind of know what's going to happen. It's like watching an old movie, you know. It's like, I think this person dies, but I'm not 100% sure, you know, type of deal. So, but yeah. Anyway, I'm in favor of it. I think it'd be a great idea.
Me too. I think it'd be an excellent idea, yeah. So, Brock Lesnar, UFC 121, and thank goodness I didn't bet on Brock Lesnar like I thought about, because he got his butt kicked. I mean, did you see it at all?
I saw the aftermath.
It was only like 3.5 minutes, dude. He got his butt kicked. In fact, there was one shot in there where, if I'm correct, he hits Brock, but he also knees him in the head at the same time. And then Brock like stumbles out of the corner, and then he like does like a little pirouette or whatever you want to call it. He just decides to twirl, or I can't remember, he did it, or flipped or something like that over to the other side of the ring. But it was just really weird. I think that he was just disoriented afterwards. I mean, he was just messed up. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, the guy who is actually American, but he's Mexican, now they consider him a Mexican champion, even though he was born in the United States. Kind of weird, but, you know, whatever.
Mexican heritage, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is that, you know, the reason why Brock lost, I mean, he should have F5'd the guy.
Yeah, that's the thing. If he would have F5'd him, maybe put him in an ankle lock, it would have been all over.
Well, you know, the thing is, and I mean, I know what happened too. Like in the middle of the match, he was thinking that he wanted to get to the outside of the ring, but because this was a certain stipulation in the UFC where it had to be in an octagon, he couldn't leave the ring. He was going to climb up and do a shooting star press, but the guy wasn't down long enough. and he didn't beat him down, you know, hard enough. So, but I think I did see a table on the outside, but luckily that wasn't used. So,
now, didn't Brock Lesnar actually do the shooting star press at one point?
That was actually one of his finishing moves.
Because I thought that he did one where he just did not land right, and I think we were like,
that
oh!
That was at WrestleMania. He was doing it to Kurt Angle, and he hadn't done it in years.
Right.
But he wanted to do something special, and so he's going for the shooting star press, and he landed flat on his head. It was bad. It was
very,
really
very
bad.
Disturbing. Very disturbing, I'm sorry. I can't talk tonight for some reason. Anyway, so Undertaker, he actually stares down Lesnar. And what I thought was really weird was, if this is an angle, why was Michelle McCool there?
You know, here's the thing. People are playing this up as though it's going to be this huge wrestling angle. It's not. There is no way that they're going to go this far out, you know, into, you know, I would say professional sports. I mean, if you want to call UFC a professional sport. There's no way that they're going to go that far out there. I don't see that happening. Especially, I mean, Brock Lesnar did not want to be known as a wrestler. You right. know, he wanted to be known as an MMA fighter because wrestlers get very, very little respect. Even though, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of people like it, they still get very, very little respect. So, I don't know. I just don't see this happening. I know that they're talking about it, saying that, oh, it'd be this big thing. But the other thing, too, is him versus Undertaker, if they actually had a match at WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar would have to win that match.
Oh,
otherwise,
yeah.
He would get no respect.
Exactly, and it couldn't be a disqualification. He would actually have to legitimately win it. That's the weird part.
Yeah,
there's no way around it, because then what are you going to say? I mean, then he can't go back to UFC. They're going to call him a wimp, a chump, whatever.
Yeah, I don't
know. But the weird part
is, I don't even really care about this story that much. And people were playing it up, and it's, you know, those pundits, honestly, they had nothing else to talk about, so they thought they would just talk about that. So I say that we move on.
Okay, moving on. It's confirmed Eddie Guerrero's daughter signs with the WWE. I'm actually impressed with this.
Are you happy with that?
It's very nice, because she's going to FCW. She's going to train down there, and she's going to learn a lot. And I think it's great. I didn't know his daughter was even thinking about wrestling. That's weird.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird. But then again, it's, you know, it's legacy, so
no,
it's expected.
True. So King of the Ring is returning. I did not see this. When's this happening?
It's apparently happening next month.
What?
Yay for build-up. But, you
what
know,
about
this
Survivor
got me
Series?
Thinking about. Well, this got me thinking about something. It's going to be on Monday Night Raw, which is stupid. You know, it should be its own pay-per-view. But it got me thinking about something. Bragging rights. What they should do, if they really want to make it this big SmackDown vs. Raw thing, why not have King of the Ring be the best people of Raw? You know, you do an 8-man tournament on Raw side, an 8-man tournament on SmackDown side. The winners face each other. So you have 16 superstars in a match. You can help build up people then, you know, you can help get people over and have it be mid-carders, you know, like mid to upper. And you build it up that way where, you know, it might have been the Miz versus Edge, you know, something like that. And then the winner's the King of the Ring, you know. That, I think, would have been a much better idea. But, you know, then again, I'm not the one writing this stuff.
That's true. But the pay-per-view, bragging rights, I was pretty excited after the first match. I was like, wow, this is going to be a good pay-per-view. Very good pay-per-view. And then we had the new tag champs, which I didn't understand. Didn't make sense to me.
Do you know why that happened?
I would like to hear it.
No, I'm wondering if you knew, because I have no idea.
Neither do I. I was
no idea.
I was more like, they what? They won? I was just like, huh?
Yeah, here's the thing about the tag titles. They mean absolutely nothing in the WWE. Absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There are no tag teams. Everything is only singles. They don't even build up people through tag teams anymore.
Right.
Apparently, there's no reason to do that. And I mean, nothing against like Daniel Bryan, whom you know I like, but you could have put him with somebody else and built him up that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with Caval. You know, and you don't have to do that with everybody, but you could do that with some people.
Right.
You know, so I thought it was so stupid to just out of nowhere be like, eh, new tag champs.
They're like, let's do something.
So much is going on in the WWE right now that is annoying the crap out of me.
I can tell. But anyway, so we have SmackDown defeats Raw in bragging rights, so they get the Stanley Cup. Moving on, Wade Barrett. No one cares.
Honestly, what's the point in this? What is the point? They talked about it this week on Raw and SmackDown. Guess what they're going to talk about next week?
Not that.
Nothing.
Exactly. They're going to be like, well, whatever. It's like when they win the Slammies or whatever they have for like 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden, like, hey, they don't have the Slammy anymore. What's going on here? Yeah.
That is so stupid, too. Like, I mean, and the thing is, at least the Slammies, like, I understand it because it's on Raw. It's this kind of a little bit of a joke award show. Mm-hmm. But man, like this bragging rights thing, they build it up to this huge pay-per-view and it means absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It honestly just really annoys me so much. So anyway, but what did you think about the main event? Wade Barrett defeated Randy Orton. Wade Barrett.
Yes, he did.
Beat Randy Orton
by DQ.
By disqualification.
Yeah. It was just one of those things. I'm sorry, but like the pay-per-view, I could care less. I didn't, when this match was going on, I was like, all right, so he won. Is it over with yet? Come on. I was actually pushing for the pay-per-view to just get over with. It was that bad.
Well, you know what's funny is I tweeted out when the pay-per-view started, Wade Barrett says, if I don't win, you're fired to Cena. And so I tweeted out immediately, ugh, Wade Barrett's going to win by DQ. Because I actually posted results early in the day, like kind of predictions that we had, and we actually got all of them right except for one.
Which one?
Which was I thought that Michelle McCool would lose the title finally. So, but she didn't. So, yeah,
bitch.
Yep.
Anyway, so that was the pay-per-view bragging rights. Let's move on to Raw. New tag champs again. What is this?
Remember how I said earlier, you know, remember 2 minutes ago when I said titles mean absolutely nothing?
Okay.
So you know how they mean even more than nothing right now?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it'd be less than nothing. That's what they mean. Like, they are crap. They are honestly, honestly crap.
I wonder if they're just trying to do this because TNA is pushing the tag stuff, and I'm just wondering if they're like, hey, since they're pushing it, let's push crappy guys together, like David Otunga and John Cena.
Well, the fact that Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel are the new tag champions of WWE, it's like, you know, these – you're trying to build people up, okay? Have them win the titles, okay? There was no reason for Cena to win the title and then, you know, for Otunga, I should say, to win the title and then immediately drop it the following night to his members. That did absolutely nothing.
Right.
It really did nothing. So it's – that the tag division, honestly, is so annoying to me that I could go on a 5-minute rant about it, but we don't have the time for that.
I
want to ask you.
Okay. All right, I'm listening.
Bryan and Ziggler had a match again.
Yeah.
And what did you think about it?
Yeah. It was good.
Really?
It was good. Don't get me wrong. It was good. I just, I'd rather see CM Punk and him wrestle.
I agree with
they
you.
They teased that, and I'm looking forward to that. You know, Daniel Bryan had a great match. Don't get me wrong. But
I thought that they had an amazing match. I was impressed
for
by
free
Ziggler.
TV. Yes. For free TV, they had a great match.
And I was impressed by Bryan. I thought that they actually put on, you know, one heck of a show. It was the best match. That was the only match on Raw that I actually watched start to finish. And I didn't have it in fast forward one.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, that's big.
I actually – well, also CM Punk was on commentary. He's actually pretty funny. So,
yes, he is.
So I had to do that.
Cookie
but yeah,
Monster.
Those two facing each other, and I think that Punk can help make Daniels a star.
I think so. He's Chicago made, definitely. Anyway, so John Cena is going to be the special guest ref for Orton versus Wade Barrett. But if Wade Barrett wins the title, Cena's done from Nexus. But if he loses, Cena's fired. So here's what I think is going to happen. I think that Wade Barrett's going to win.
I agree with you.
And I think he's going to get his ass beat the entire time. Then I think The Miz is coming out. Then I think he's going to get his butt kicked. And then I think The Miz is going to come out and cash it in.
I could see that. I could. There'd only be one issue, which would be that the Nexus would help Wade win.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would still be out there. So Miz couldn't cash it in.
Not necessarily, because you forget one thing. Wade Barrett wins the title, right? Cena's done from Nexus. What's to say he just doesn't beat him up?
Here is another question, then, something to think about. If the Miz, if that happened, the Miz is immediately a face.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want Miz as a face. Mm-hmm. Miz is all heel. I mean, he can do face, but right now, and he's really good at being a heel. That's why, like, I just don't see it happening. I could see him cashing in against Randy Orton, and then he still is a heel. You know, it still works out really well. But him cashing in against Wade Barrett, I don't see that happening. But I do agree, honestly, Wade Barrett has to win this.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I'm just trying to think of how they can actually make it so it's good.
So I don't know.
Because for some reason, I just think they're going to mess this up. Anyway, so SmackDown, everyone wants a shot at Kane. I don't get it.
Well, you know, now that him and Undertaker's feud is over, mm-hmm. everyone is taking aim at Kane and the World Heavyweight Championship, which actually I like a lot. They're actually focusing on what is important. They're focusing on, you know, Alberto and Rey and Edge. They're all like, I want a shot at the title, you know, and now that Undertaker's out of the picture, because he has to have surgery on whatever, again, it's actually focusing on what wrestling should be, which is every man is going for the top dog, and Kane is the top dog. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going after him. I like it.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad that they're finally doing something good. You know, and like I said, this is the WWE, so I'm just wondering how they're going to screw this up. So, anyways, we have Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes. They decide to split up as a tag team, so Dashing is no longer with the Drew.
You remember how they put this team together because they thought, you know what, why don't we strengthen the tag team division, you know, and these two are heels, they can make a pretty decent tag team. Yeah. You remember when they did that, and you remember when they failed?
What, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah. So, but you know what's kind of cool, though, is Edge is the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. Do you like this?
I like this. I was actually kind of hoping that he would, like, turn heel against the SmackDown crew for some reason and, like, have, like, a Raw shirt underneath the SmackDown one and just have him beat up, like, Big Show and stuff. I thought that would have been kind of cool, but...
Nah, you know, the thing that surprised me was when, you know, the SmackDown actually won, but, like, Edge would be the last person to turn heel. I mean, he would be... Or to turn on to Raw since he just had the issue with the GM and everything, so... Mm. But, you know, the other thing, too, is we also have NXT, you know.
Yes, yes.
And
NXT, there's two things.
So moving on to GoDaddy.
No, all right. First of all, I want to say something about NXT. So I actually took the time to watch it online. By the way, that was an experience in itself. It was an experience itself, dude. I'll just say that now.
Is it the same crap that they've been showing, like, same when it
crap.
Was on TV?
Basically, it's same thing. There's nothing different except that you just sit there and watch it. I'm just like, wow, this is ridiculous. Then it came to the main event. It was, it was bad. Because Oksana, she had this red outfit that just looked ridiculous. It was horrible. I was trying to watch it, and I was like, you know, I can't watch this show anymore because it's that bad. Her outfit pissed me off that much. Her outfit just made me that mad because it was so ridiculous. It was just red and just red. And I don't know why. It just made me mad.
What?
Yeah, I was like a bull. I got the horns out, and I just want to, like, you know, hit her. So
you know what you should do, Andy? You should make a website about that.
I should. But you know what? One thing that I was actually wondering is who actually is watching NXT on WWE.com. Please send us a message. I want to know if you're actually watching because it is bad.
Well, as we all know, nobody is watching that. No, but Andy, I think that you should make a website about her red outfit. And you know who you should use?
I should use GoDaddy. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Summer 6 is why I say stuff for details. TNA, is the Jersey Shore gimmick lame? Here's the research that I did for this, Aaron. You ready? I watched all of Season 2 of Jersey Shore. 13 episodes about people partying and fighting. It's bad. So this gimmick...
Hold on. This is a little off topic, but you actually watched the Jersey Shore?
I've never seen season one, but I watched all of season two. So I was like, what's the fuss about? Why do they bring this into TNA? Yes, I know. I see that face that you're giving me. I just sat there and watched him, and I was like, okay, this show's stupid. This show's really, really stupid. Why are people like, oh, I want to be with that situation or the Vinny guy? It's like, come on. Seriously, this is a stupid show.
Today at work, for some reason, my eye was really dry and my contact lens ripped. I have soft contacts, but it had a tear in it. I took it out of my eye and it was ripped. My eye was incredibly irritated. And for the past 5 hours, my eye's been red. It's been in constant pain and it hurts. I would rather have that happen for a full 2 days than watch one episode of the Jersey Shore. Okay, let me say that much.
Let's just put it this way:
is the Jersey Shore gimmick lame? Back to the original.
Okay,
question.
Back to the original claim. It's even lamer now that I've seen the show.
It's not lamer, but it is lame. And I really like. Everyone is talking about Jersey Shore, and it pisses me off to no end. It really makes me upset because a show called Bones did a thing about it, like. You know, think about Jersey Shore. South Park did something about Jersey Shore, which was funny. And now TNA's doing it. As long as they're doing it in such a way to let those people know that that's not how a real person is, then that's fine, you know. But I don't know. It honestly really upsets me as a wrestling fan because it's – you're not going to get somebody who likes Jersey Shore to watch it, you know. And they're not going to be a good heel. It's a cheap heel. It really is. So
it's just a thing for the moment. That's all it is. That's all that is. Anyway, so the tag teams are getting some love with some three-way matches. I like these.
They had a three-way match on, you know, this past Impact. And I liked it. I mean, it's a really good match. You know, you have Ink, you know, and you got Motor City Machine Guns in there. I mean, both those teams are going to put on, you know, good matches. That's mm-hmm. the main thing. You know, when you have like two teams like that in there, and of course, Generation Me puts on amazing matches too. So, you know, I was glad to see that. So, I mean, I don't know. What did you think?
I was happy. I mean, I'm glad that someone's doing something with the tag divisions because they really, really need it. Really need it bad. And it's nice that, you know, TNA's taking the initiative and doing it. I'm really happy about that. Really excited. Really excited to actually see what's going to happen.
I hope that they keep it going. That's the big thing. Mm-hmm. And Ink, they really should push that at them as a tag team. Really push Generation Me. Really push Motor City Machine Guns. And I don't mean push them as in bring them straight to the top. I mean actually push them onto TV. They should be on every episode of Impact or Explosion at least.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need to do because they are exciting. You mm-hmm. know, that's what that's the thing I like about tag teams are that you can get these amazing matches with these amazing moves, you know? So
mm-hmm. One thing I wanted to say, I was really excited when I saw that Matt Morgan went face. He's face now, which is awesome, I think. And then
I don't like it.
Why? He's been healed this entire time. Why don't, just give him the turn.
He's such an intimidating person, you know? But I know why they turned him face, though, because they want him to be – they want to push him even further. And when I say push, I mean actually move him from a mid-card to upper mid-card, maybe main event.
Mm-hmm.
They want to push him up the ladder and make him this, you know, person that when you look at him, it's like, oh, you're actually intimidated as opposed to a Tyson Tomko who never got past a mid-card level. And he was always stuck there and, you know, you saw him and it's like, oh, you're not that intimidating.
Nope, and he's just a goon.
Same thing with Gene Snitsky, you know, like – yeah. Those people, you know, they're big, but they are just not intimidating.
Dude, when he stained his teeth, though, when he stained his teeth, whew.
Yeah, he was an interesting character. Andy, you had a weekly topic.
I have something that I came up with earlier, and I'm really digging it, and I know I'm going to catch some heat, so I'm going to go first on my top 10 wrestler entrances of all time. And number 11 that does not make the count is Pharaoh's opening that he did for I think it was WrestleMania X8 where he spent 6 hours making the wrestler's entrance.
First of all, you're referring to Mike.
Yes.
Mike our Smith, cousin
from Section 86.
He spent literally, and I'm not joking, he spent 2 hours on Day of Reckoning doing his entrance to make sure the camera angles were correct, the smoke came on at the right time, the fireworks went off at the right time, that the lighting was correct. He went pretty crazy with it. And so every time we played, he's like, no, don't hit the button. My entrance is playing. He was pretty intense about it.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was really bad. Anyways, I just want to say that that's an honorable mention, number 11. Anyways, let's get into real people. Number 10, Bret the Hitman Hart. Great entrance. And the sunglasses, that was awesome. I always wanted a pair of those. But, you know, our parents were too cheap to let us go when we were young. They knew better. Anyways, number 9, Hulk Hogan, WWF days. Not WWE or WCW, but WWF days.
Yeah.
All right, number 8, Glacier, WCW. I loved his entrance. Number 7, I always dug Team Extreme whenever they came out with the music. And then number 6, Sugar Shane the Hurricane. But don't call me Gregory, his WCW entrance. I loved it. Always loved that entrance. One of my favorites. All right, number 5, Diamond Dallas Page, DDP. Always loved his thing where he'd throw up the diamonds, the diamond cutter, and then bam, and the fireworks go off. I love that. Number 4. You know,
and the thing I actually want to say about DDP, he had a really good entrance. The thing I always liked about him was when he came out, people got incredibly excited. And, you know, if he was, you know, had more, I mean, I think that he would have been a much more successful wrestler who would have been around a lot longer. But unfortunately, as it is, he wasn't nearly as charismatic as he could have been. And he didn't play that great of a face. He played a much better heel. Mm-hmm. So, but definitely, he had a great entrance. So I 100% on that with you.
Oh, yeah. Number 4, Stone Cold Steve Austin with the glass breaking. Austin 316. Love that one. Number 3, we have Rey Mysterio when he first came to the WWE and he'd come up from the floor and shoot out. I love that. Then we have number 2, The Brood, of course, where they come up from underneath the fire and Gangrel coming up. I just love that. And number 2, and guess what number 1 is?
Who?
WCW's Bill Goldberg, his entrance.
That yeah, definitely. But that, you know, I must say, you really left somebody off there. I would definitely have taken the Brood off. It was not that good.
I thought it was awesome.
What was awesome was whether or not you liked him. Ultimate Warrior's entrance was always high energy. He was the only wrestler that I know of who every time he just ran to the ring, you know, going 150 miles per hour, you know, getting in there and shaking the ropes and going crazy. You know, and he had that very memorable music. So I would have put him probably as number 2. But Goldberg, man, you know, seeing the security knock on the door, like, it was an experience start to finish. His entrance was longer than most of his matches.
Yes, very much so. And then everyone would be like, Goldberg.
The thing is, whether or not you even liked him as a wrestler, the just everything about it works so well, you know. Mm-hmm. It really did. So
I was really happy. So we're gonna hear yours in a couple weeks.
Now, you know, I don't really have one. You know, I don't really know if I'd be able to do that. Yeah, no, I think that one's yours, Andy.
All right, I appreciate that one is yours.
Well, but like I said, if I had to do anything different on there, I definitely would have put Ultimate Warrior on that list.
Okay.
So
Ultimate Warrior number 11 still good though.
You know, he might be number 3.
Well, it looks like that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I am AHughes86. He is AP Hughes. I want to say thanks to Section 86 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to our show. And until next time, we're tagging out.